All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons and Jaguars. I am one of your hosts, Aaron Freeman. Today I'm joined by the Locked on Jaguars host, Chris Thornton. We're going to be talking about this upcoming preseason matchup between the Atlanta Falcons and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You are Locked on Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons at FalcFans.com for many, many years, on Twitter at FalcFans. Of course, the host of this illustrious Locked on Falcons podcast. This is a crossover pod, the first for at least Locked on Falcons going into 2018. We're going to have several of these over the course of the regular season. But joined today by one of the hosts of the Locked on Jaguars podcast, Christopher Thornton. You know him on Twitter as Misto Christopho. Did I get that right, Chris?
I'm actually surprised you got that perfectly right. Everybody always butchers it.
Okay. Well, I figured I was going to butcher it, so I felt like I would be in good company if I did. So, we're off to a good start. So, we're going to do a crossover pod today, talking about this upcoming Jaguars game. Given that the Falcons and Jaguars are two teams that with Super Bowl aspirations, it doesn't seem as if there's a whole lot of drama involved with either team's preseason, but we'll touch upon some preseason storylines and maybe some things that we're looking at both of these teams heading into the 2018 season. So, Chris, where do you want to jump off at?
All right, so I guess we'll kind of leave the game for a little bit later into the show, but right now, if we're going off storylines, I'm sure Falcons fans, because you said you did a show on it, Jalen Ramsey kind of doing what Jalen Ramsey does, kind of mouth off on all the quarterbacks in the NFL, which was very interesting. It definitely made my week, because I could tell you one thing. If Jalen wasn't on my team, I probably would despise him as an NFL fan. And I am truly grateful he's not a Dallas Cowboy. But that was one thing. I think probably the more kind of interesting storyline to look forward was the report that came out a few days ago that the Jets inquired about Dante Fowler Jr. I think that was kind of something that really kind of, threw a wrench in Jags Twitter, because we've all kind of joked about the team trying to trade Fowler, and some of us a little more serious than others. And then when that report comes out, we're all kind of like, whoa, this might actually be happening. And then the same reporter comes out today and says the Jets also inquired about Khalil Mack, which is a much bigger prospect. That'd be a much bigger trade than Dante Fowler going to New York. But really, other than that, the Jags have been pretty quiet this year. Obviously, in years past, when they have not been that good, you had way more positional battles to look forward to. You had a little more controversy with Blake struggling in camp and guys like Allen Robinson, Mercedes Lewis kind of mouthing off because of Blake. But this year it's really kind of been chaos free, which is, I guess, has been nice, but it's also been really hard to cover as a writer to get content out there. But other than that, it's been pretty uneventful here in Jacksonville.
I do want to circle back to that Dante Fowler nugget, just because I think it has some interesting parallels a little bit with what's going on with Vic Beasley in Atlanta. Not as if the Falcons are shopping him, but sort of two guys that were highly touted draft prospects and pass rushers a couple of years ago and sort of have since been overshadowed by some other guys. But I'll circle back to that. I am curious, sort of, it's from my perspective, again, as someone who doesn't cover the Jaguars, I imagine most of what sort of is interesting in training camp is sort of looking at these receivers that are sort of these mini fresh faces, where the Jaguars had a lot of turnover at the wide receiver and tight end position. And I imagine it's really about trying to get these guys and on the same page with Blake Bortles. But then again, it's probably not that huge a deal with guys like DJ Chark and Dante Moncrief and Austin Seferian Jenkins, given how focused the Jaguars are on running the football. And so those guys are always going to be second fiddle to Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, the Jags definitely had some turnover of the big names in the wide receiver market. Allen Robinson obviously going to Chicago. Allen Hurns getting later released and going to Dallas. But I think the team's really kind of approaching that style of not having a true number one yet. It's going to be either Keelan Cole or DJ Chark that emerges at one, because I think they're both very talented receivers, and DJ Chark being a rookie, obviously, and then Keelan Cole kind of busting on the scene towards the end of last year. But kind of going into the season, we still don't know who the sixth receiver is going to be if they carry six. It's kind of like a three-way battle between Rashad Green, Jadon Mickens, and Shane Wynn. But really, it's just a matter of how the ordering is going to go, because they paid Marquise Lee big money in free agency, which I probably wasn't the biggest fan of that move. But he seems to be the number, quote-unquote, one right now. And then you have DJ Chark, Dante Moncrief, Keelan Cole, and DeeDee Westbrook as your top five. And that sixth spot, obviously, to be determined. That'll probably be determined this week and next week. But in the wide receiver room, they seem to be building some pretty good chemistry with Blake. I was out there for training camp for about a week and a half while practices were open to us in public before I had to go back to work. But DeeDee Westbrook and Blake seem to be on a really good page. Keelan Cole and him got on a really good page last year, and that's just going to be seeing DJ Chark kind of emerge. So the wide receiver room is going to be kind of interesting to watch as the year go on, because a lot of us don't know how it's going to kind of shake out depth chart wise.
Yeah, it's interesting, because like one of the big questions with the Falcons going into the season, for me at least, is going to be how good is their offense going to be? Is it going to have a little bit more of a rebound season? Unfortunately, preseason isn't necessarily the best pace to answer that question, just because teams are sort of playing conservative and they're more focused on evaluating their own players and their roster as opposed to putting their best foot forward as far as play calling goes. The other question that I have going into the season is going to be with the Falcons pass rush, and this is where I link it to sort of the interesting thing with Dante Fowler and Vic Beasley, where there were two guys that were highly touted in that 2015 draft. And I remember a lot of people sort of expecting the Falcons to really go after Dante Fowler just because he played under Dan Quinn at Florida, if he had been available. And it's interesting to sort of see with Fowler, coming up on I guess he's a free agent because they didn't pick up his option. Am I correct?
After this season, he'll be a free agent.
And, the Falcons picked up Vic Beasley's option, but it's one of the things that we've been talking about here in Atlanta is this year is kind of a make-break year for Vic Beasley, because he led the NFL in sacks in 2016, then sort of fell back down to earth. From my perspective, a lot of his production in 2016 was based off of effort and beating up on, backup-level offensive tackles. And then this past season, where I think teams were able to sort of adjust to what he does, which is mostly be a speed rusher, he wasn't as effective getting that production. And we saw a little bit of that towards the end of 2016 as well, when his production sort of fell off after the month of November. But it's interesting, because I think with Beasley, like, he really sort of needs to have a strong rebound season in order for the Falcons to really sort of look at him as a long-term option and sort of be, normally what the Falcons' MO is to negotiate contracts with guys, going into their final year, which would be the case after this season with Beasley, because he's got one more year due to that fifth year option. But it's interesting looking at the Jaguars on the opposite end, because if the rumors are true, sort of that they're interested in shopping Fowler, or at least have gotten inquiries about Fowler, it seems to make a lot of sense that you would sort of ship off Fowler, get something for him sooner rather than later, and then, use that sort of freed up potential money down the road to go out and pay a guy like Yannick Ngakoue, who's probably going to command a monster salary and be the next, super duper highly paid Jaguars defensive lineman after they've spent all that money on all these D tackles the last couple of years.
Yeah. The point that you made, about, Deion is, that the same thing is basically the case for Fowler. You can look at his stats and see, oh, he had 8 sacks last year and then 2 in the AFC Championship game. But if you really look at the film and break it down, Dante doesn't make these sacks on his own. He's basically the product of a very good defensive line around him and really good pass coverage down the field. Most of these sacks, I could probably do a piece on this, but most of Dante's sacks are basically cleanup sacks, where the interior and the opposite side of the D-line basically just collapse the pockets, where all Dante has to do is just get to the quarterback with almost no effort. And that's one thing that a lot of Jags fans don't really want to accept, because Jacksonville loves Dante Fowler. I'm a Gator fan, so when we drafted him, I was obviously excited to see a guy from Florida who was explosive at Florida go to Jacksonville and be on my team. But I feel like Dante's true potential would have been if he was drafted to a 3-4 defense and he became an outside linebacker, because that's what they basically used him at Florida for. He'd put his hand in the dirt in a little bit, but really he would drop back in coverage and then kind of blitz on stunts. So that was something that I think if he were to be traded, they might look for him to go to a 3-4, or at least in his sake, want to go to a 3-4. But I think the biggest thing is that he's just not a pure pass rusher. He has basically one move where he spins. It's a spin move, and it never works. He just spins into the offensive tackle. So I think that's obviously one of the main reasons they didn't pick up his fifth-year option, another being that he kind of has a history of suspensions and off-the-field stuff. So that's one thing that I'm sure is probably kind of hindering trade talks at this point. But if they could get any value out of him, that'd be great, because a lot of Jags fans kind of want him to go, and hopefully they're like, oh, we can get a compensatory pick for him. It's like, not necessarily, because I believe to net a third-round pick, which is the highest you can get in compensatory picks, he would have to sign a deal worth like $13 million a year. And I don't think Dante's getting that, and I would not want to know a team that would pay him that, at least after last year. Maybe this year if he blows up. But that's just the biggest thing with Fowler, is he just never reached that third overall potential. And I mean, it was really sad to see, because a lot of us were rooting for him, but I mean, that's just the name of the game.
Well, I got more I want to talk about with Christopher, but I do want to let the listeners know that we Locked On Podcast Network is also Locked On College. Yesterday we launched the college channel on the Locked On Podcast Network. If you're a fan of Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, Florida, Kentucky, Oklahoma, Baylor, Penn State, Oregon, or BYU, go to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or follow for free. It's on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Talking about the Falcons pass rush, and I think, you know, before we jump into the game, but one thing that I'm curious about this game, is this going to be really the first opportunity that Falcon fans are going to be able to get to see this pass rush, at least for extended reps? We've only really seen Vic Beasley, Tack McKinley, and Grady Jarrett on the field at the same time for about a dozen snaps through the first two preseason games. So one of the things that I'm looking forward to with this upcoming weekend's game is going to be able to see this pass rush and really get the only opportunity that we'll have to sort of see them get tested against the Jaguars offensive line that's sort of, I wouldn't say revamped, but they put a lot in Andrew Norwell, let's say that, to sort of bolster that unit. One question I have for you about that kind of relates to the Falcons pass rush is, one of the big things that Falcon fans thought this offseason was that they would use their top pick on a defensive tackle. And the expectation was that they would draft Taven Bryan if he was there, another guy with a Florida connection. They wound up throwing a curveball and taking Calvin Ridley. Bryan fell to the Jaguars. I'm just curious, from a curiosity standpoint, so far, how has Taven Bryan looked in camp, and how is he being utilized given the depth of that Jaguars defensive line, where, you know, it seems like they have the potential to redshirt their first round pick just because of how many dominant defensive tackles they already have on the team?
Well, in camp, he's had a really good camp. Calais Campbell has really embraced being the mentor to Taven Bryan, which is probably one of the best mentors you can get as a football player. And in camp, he's been very flashy. He's been really good. The video surfaced that he was able to basically win a one-on-one drill with an O-lineman with one arm. But then he's had his rookie moments. You know, that's expected. This week will be his first game action in preseason. So Jags fans alike are going to finally see Taven Bryan hit the field. So that's something that we definitely can look forward to. But all in all, I'd say he's looked really good, but I think the real test will be seeing him go against offensive linemen of a different team. I can give you his practice reps and say that they're good. There's some good video, but really I think this week will be the real kind of eye test to see how he's looking in his development.
I don't know if there's buyer's remorse given how well Calvin Ridley looked this past week against the Kansas City Chiefs. Really had a really strong performance, so there's no doubt about it. I think most Falcon fans aren't necessarily too broken up that they didn't take Taven Bryan. But certainly if he has a dominant game against whether it's the Falcon starters or the reserves, I'm sure there will be a couple of Falcon fans, as there always are a couple of outliers, that sort of look at that and like, oh, we made the mistake. You know, given Beasley's up and down career, there's still a vocal contingent of people that are like, the Falcons should have drafted Todd Gurley back in 2015. given you sort of the closeness of Georgia and whatnot. But the other big training camp question I have for you, Chris, is how is it like living in a post-Chad Henne world?
I tell you what, Cody Kessler is a really good quarterback. I was really surprised with that trade. Granted, it was only like a conditional seventh round pick for like next year or something. But I feel like Kessler was probably the better of the quarterbacks that was in Cleveland in those 1 year and winless seasons. Now, granted, that's not a whole lot to kind of be excited about. But in camp and in games, he's looked really good. He's been really sharp. I'm pretty sure it took him until the Vikings joint practices to throw his first pick in practice, which going against this Jags secondary is very impressive. I don't think he has a turnover in any of the preseason games, but all in all, Kessler has been a very good replacement for Chad Henne because, I mean, Chad Henne, you knew what you were getting. Kessler, on the other hand, is still young, and if he had to come in, for God forbid, for Blake Bortles, I mean, obviously, I would be a little nervous and upset, but I almost kind of feel confident having Cody Kessler back there instead of Chad Henne. Because Chad Henne, like I said, is not very mobile, and you kind of just know what you're getting in him because he was towards the end of his career. Now he's a Kansas City Chief. But Cody Kessler, kind of a clean slate here in Jacksonville, and it would kind of be, I think, honestly, if Kessler continues to ball out, it wouldn't surprise – I don't think they would trade him, but maybe after next year, maybe the Jags would be able to flip him for maybe a slightly higher pick.
Okay. Any other thing you want to talk about before we get into this weekend's matchup?
No, I think all the fun's now in this year, this week's matchup and talking about that.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned it at the top with Jalen Ramsey talking some trash, and I think he was going to be up for this game, get to test his mettle against Julio Jones, but that's not going to be the case. Julio Jones is one of six players that the Falcons are going to be holding out of this game. That also includes Devontae Freeman, middle linebacker Deion Jones, free safety Ricardo Allen, backup wide receiver Marvin Hall, who has been Jones' primary backup when he's missed time so far this season, backup center Ben Garland. They also may wind up losing two more starters in kicker Matt Bryant and cornerback Desmond Trufant. Both of those guys are going to be game time decisions, which I think sitting here today, I'd be a little doubtful. Generally speaking, if it's a 50-50 proposition for a preseason game, generally you're going to side on the side of caution and hold those guys out. So we'll see if they play. But basically, you're not going to necessarily, you know, for Jaguars fans listening, you're not going to see the Falcons be able to put their best foot forward because several of their key players are going to be out of this lineup. And that Jalen Ramsey matchup against Julio Jones, and, you know, I don't even know he'll be covering Calvin Ridley. So we'll get to see that matchup and whether or not the Falcons rookie wide receiver can hold his own against, you know, one of the best cornerback duos in the entire league, if not the best. I like to believe that the Falcons, you know, are in the conversation for that group, but I certainly wouldn't knock the Jaguars duo in any shape or form. Certainly, they're the kings of trash talking. But I think that's going to be an interesting matchup to sort of see this Falcons offense against the Jaguars defense. But because of the injuries to two of their primary weapons on offense, it probably won't be as good a litmus test, at least for the Falcons end, as it probably will be for the Jaguars.
Yeah, that was disappointing when I found out that Julio wouldn't be playing. It came out, I guess, this morning that he wouldn't be playing against Jalen, because I kind of put a little damper on everything because all preseason I was like, ooh, I was really excited for Bouye and Ramsey against Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, and then Ramsey got suspended for his he mouthed off to a reporter. I won't get into that, but yeah. That was the first test, and then I was like, okay, we get Julio and Jalen next week. And then Julio comes out and says that he's not playing. I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll have to wait for OBJ and Jalen Ramsey. I guess I'll have to be the first test. But now we get Calvin Ridley and Jalen Ramsey, which is still a very good test because Ridley has – I mean, was he the first wide receiver taken in the draft?
Yes. Well, I don't know. Was he? Did Carolina – no, I think Carolina took DJ Moore like two spots ahead. I think
Carolina took DJ Moore, yeah. Anyway, first-round wide receiver who a lot of people coveted as the top wide receiver, and then he kind of fell at the last minute. But I think that'll be a really good test for Jalen, because Jalen's really good at kind of bodying his receivers, kind of the size guys. And Ridley has that speed. So that'll be really interesting to see Jalen keep up with the speed. I mean, who with Julio out, who are going to be the top two receivers? Mohamed Sanu and Calvin Ridley?
Yeah, pretty much.
So you'll have Sanu and Boye, Ramsey and Calvin Ridley, or vice versa. They can kind of flip both sides of the field. So that'll be a real test. And then I think something that I'm really looking forward to that you said earlier is this Falcons pass rush versus the Jags O-line, because this will be the first time if Brandon Leonard plays, because Brandon Leonard tweaked his knee last week in Minnesota and had to leave the game and hasn't really been practicing, so he might be out. But this will be the first time that the majority of the Jags O-line will be playing, because the last two preseason games, Jeremy Parnell was out, their starting right tackle, and Andrew Norwell has been held out the last 2 weeks with calf soreness. So we finally get to see those guys in action. So like you were saying, you get to see this Falcons pass rush against this Jags O-line, who I think is going to kind of be underrated when you compare them to the rest of the league. But then again, I don't really like to hype people up before the season, because that usually blows up back in my face. Though last episode, I kind of made some bold takes that I firmly stand by. But those are probably the two biggest matchups. I was looking forward to seeing Tevin Coleman play and stuff like that. But Devontae Freeman should still be a very good show for these linebackers. That'll also be a kind of another treat to see.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, Tevin Coleman's coming off a pretty solid game against the Chiefs. I think he averaged like 7 yards a carry last week on like 3 carries. So seeing what he can do against this Jaguars front, I think it'll be fun to see sort of see that matchup. I was a huge fan of Miles Jack a couple of years ago when he was coming out. I was all ready for the Falcons to take him in the first round. They did not. They took Keanu Neal instead. And then I was all ready for them to trade up into top of round 2 and take him, and they did not. They settled for Deion Jones. So, you know, it's not as if they made a mistake there. But he has been a player that I've enjoyed watching these last couple of years in Jacksonville. And sort of if he goes toe-to-toe with Tevin Coleman in this game, that'll be a fun matchup. I think, you know, one of the other questions with the Falcons, particularly in the front of their defensive line, is going to be their run defense. Losing guys like Dontari Poe this past offseason, there are questions whether or not they can hold up as well against the run. They drafted Deidre Sinnott in the 3rd round out of South Florida, and you know, he's being expected to, you know, have a big role in going up against that Jaguars run game. You know, I don't imagine that Jacksonville is going to, you know, feed Leonard Fournette to this huge, huge workload in the preseason. But, you know, whether it's a handful of carries, sort of seeing whether this Falcons D-line can hold up against that run, and particularly with having a guy like Deion Jones out of the lineup, whether or not the other linebackers can sort of carry the load. I think it's going to be an interesting development to see if that happens this weekend. So that's another thing that I'll be keeping my eye on. As far as, you know, potential matchups, you know, I think really what the Jaguars have done, particularly it's obvious on their defensive line, but I think they've, under Tom Coughlin, they've focused so much on being this physical team in the trenches. And one of the areas that the Falcons haven't always been great at has been matching up with some of these physical teams. So that is going to be one of the big questions I'm looking forward to watching on Saturday, is sort of seeing whether or not, if when the Jaguars push them, will they push back in on both sides of the ball? So that's one of the things I'm going to be definitely focused on.
Yeah, on Fournette, I think he'll get a decent amount of carries. He said today that his goal is to kind of get in there, score, and get out. So from a probably a player perspective, these preseason games are kind of scary for these guys, because, I mean, they don't really count. And if you get hurt, that does count. So Fournette will probably give, I would say, probably solid, probably 3 or 4 drives that you'll probably get out of Fournette, unless he scores like the first 2 or 3, then coach might just pull him. But you'll probably see a lot more from the 2nd and 3rd string, and Yeldon and Corey Grant running with the ones. Corey Grant kind of, I mean, he's been in Jacksonville for the last few years. He's fast. Was kind of unleashed in the AFC Championship game, and then was, they basically just benched him, or not benched him. They just kind of stopped feeding him in the second half, which kind of led to their demise. And that was be something that was kind of haunt Jags fans for a while. But That'll be definitely something interesting. The trenches should be fun because, like you said, Tom Coughlin loves to build the trenches. Doug Marrone, big O-line guy. Beefing up that O-line was definitely his priority to do that. And then as for run defense, the Jags were awful when it came to run defending last year before they traded for Marcell Dareus and then ended up – I think they went from like over 100 yards a game and allowed rushing to 55 a game when Marcell came. So he was a huge addition. So obviously that would be something to see if they can build on for next year run defense-wise. But all in all, I'm just expecting kind of a good bout between these two teams this week.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I think, you know, the Falcons won't admit it, but Jalen Ramsey talking some trash, I think, may have gotten a couple of guys a little fired up, you know, a little bit more than usual, maybe to have a good showing this week. And you talked about sort of the matchup with Calvin Ridley earlier, but one of the question marks I've had about Ridley is whether or not he can handle physical corners and how well he deals with press coverage. And I think, you know, he's not going to find a better matchup than these two guys in Ramsey and Bouye, two guys that like to mix it up at the line of scrimmage. And so that's going to be another reason why this is going to be an important test for Calvin Ridley to see how well he handles that and whether or not that's going to be something that other teams would be able to mimic throughout the season to sort of keep him in check. If he can show that he can be effective against press, then I think that'll be a very promising sign for what he can do this upcoming season.
Yeah, that's definitely something to just really look forward to. I wish, I mean, because you guys have Calvin Ridley, which I'll be honest, I wasn't too high on Ridley as other people. I think I had him as like my wide receiver three. But nonetheless, he's a very talented receiver, and I just think I kind of want to see that production come out of him. I was really surprised if we're kind of going here for surprise draft picks. One, I was very surprised the Jags took Taven Bryan. That was a huge shock. I had zero idea of that happening when I was, because I was in Dallas for the draft, and when I'm after waiting several hours for the Jags to finally pick, and you hear Goodell come out and say Taven Bryan, I was baffled. At first, I was a little mad, and then it kind of really made sense. And then DJ Chark, I feel like, is going to be really exciting. I also didn't expect that pick. I didn't think they would go wide receiver in the first four rounds. But nonetheless, DJ Chark, I guess, is kind of our comparison to your guys for Calvin Ridley. To, I mean, granted, you guys have Julio Jones, but kind of for that speedy guy that can kind of stretch the field outside of Keelan Cole.
Yeah. I'll be curious to sort of see what Chark does because – you know, he's a guy that has the size, he has the speed. And this past week, you know, the Falcons second round pick, Isaiah Oliver, got beat by like some four string Chiefs wide receiver on a go route. And there was a couple of times where he looked very susceptible to sort of that outside speed. And that's going to be an interesting matchup because when you look at the other Jaguars receivers, it's not as if they have a bunch of slow guys on their roster. They have a lot of speed at that group. And so for a guy like Oliver, you know, this is going to be a good test, a good opportunity to see if he has that sort of short memory that you want in cornerbacks when they can get beat and then bounce back, you know, a play later. But obviously this is going to be like a week later. So I think, you know, if we get some one-on-ones between Chark and Oliver, I think that'll be a good matchup for both of those guys to see sort of what they can bring to the table this season.
Yeah, having that reset mentality is definitely really important in this league. And it'll be interesting to see if Chark can finally get going because the first 2 weeks they really haven't done much with him, which has kind of been a little bit disappointing for Jags fans to see. I don't know if it's a continuity thing or if it's just he's not getting open. But obviously your guys are going to want to see a good game out of Oliver. My guys are going to want to see a good game out of Chark. I think if they can kind of go at it back and forth, you know, some good reps by Oliver, some good reps by Chark, then we should be in good shape. I think that's what's really good for these preseason games, just kind of see these, granted they're both rookies, so they'd kind of be adapting to each other, but to see them kind of grow in the game, because that's kind of the biggest thing when you see these guys come from college to the league is kind of getting used to the speed, getting used to the size of these guys, the speed of the NFL. And that'll definitely be something that I'll be looking forward to as this game goes on and as both, I guess, the whole year goes on.
Yeah, we have an old joke here in Atlanta that if you're in a slump, just play the Falcons and you'll break out of it. So I think that's a positive opportunity for someone like Chark if he's not necessarily, living up to the hype so far in the preseason. That's been a regular issue in the regular season for the Falcons. Basically, if you've been, coming off a bad game, you play the Falcons next week, you'll have a good game. So we'll see if that applies to the preseason this week as well.
Yeah, I mean, the Jags were somehow able to scratch out a win in Minnesota, but by no means was it pretty showing. That game was really boring. I'm sure you might have watched it since it was the first game on Saturday, nationally televised, but that thing was a snooze fest. Having to do a show after that was brutal. So obviously, with you on the air, I'm not going to say I want the Jags to bully the Falcons, because I do like the Falcons. I was really hoping that I'll be excited next year, because I've been trying to get an excuse to go to Atlanta and see their new stadium, because I've been a big fanboy of Mercedes-Benz, that stadium, that beautiful facility in Atlanta, and just wanted an excuse. So if we played this year in Atlanta, I probably would be there this week. But nonetheless, you guys definitely have a beautiful facility there, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, this year I'm hoping to be able to make my way down there. I'm living in North Carolina, so it's not that far. But didn't get the opportunity to get down there last year. I'm hoping I'll make it down there this year for one of the home games as well. It's going to be interesting. You talk about sort of wanting the Jaguars to beat up on the Falcons, and we've talked about the Jaguars' defensive line. I am curious to sort of see whether or not the Falcons' offensive line will be able to go toe-to-toe with that Jaguars, particularly Calais Campbell and Malik Jackson. And Ngakoue is probably going to be a tough matchup for Jake Matthews. He's the type of pass rusher that usually gives Jake Matthews a lot of troubles, Falcon fans have a very mixed opinion, love-hate relationship with Jake Matthews, because he seems to have frequent breakdowns in big games, but for the most part, he's been pretty solid. So coming off of the heels of him getting paid a pretty big salary, if he struggles against Ngakoue this week, I'm sure I will hear from several people on Twitter about how it was a mistake to pay him and whatnot. But I think this is going to be a fun game. I don't necessarily expect it to be a good game, because rarely do you see good games in the preseason. Mm-hmm. But I do think for the nerdier of us that are sort of focused on these individual matchups and whatnot, I do think some of these matchups are going to be interesting, just because I think these teams are sort of built in a similar fashion, given the Gus Bradley influence on that Jaguars defense and the Dan Quinn led Falcons defense. And, the Jaguars offense is a little opposite than the Falcons, because they're so run based, and the Falcons tend to be a little bit more pass centric, but probably in the preseason, they'll probably be a little bit more run based or whatever. So these are two teams that I think are interesting, that, a lot of people are talking about them as possible Super Bowl candidates, and we'll see sort of, whether or not that comes true over the course of the season. But I do think this will be a fun matchup, particularly, given the Jaguars offense versus the Falcons. I mean, Jaguars defense versus the Falcons offense.
Who knows? Maybe Atlanta can be the first team to host a Super Bowl and be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then both Atlanta and Jacksonville wouldn't have to go far if they both made the show. So maybe that'd be my – well, I probably wouldn't be able to afford that. I'd say maybe that'd be my excuse to see Atlanta Stadium. But I'd probably have to wait for another day for that one.
Probably. I would – the Falcons regular season tickets are quite expensive. So I can only imagine what the ticket prices would be for a Super Bowl when they're jacked up like 6,000%. Anything else, Chris, that you want to talk about today before we duck out of here?
I think basically covered most of the grounds of which people would be interested in. Obviously, I'm sure I'll probably think of things before I go to bed. But nonetheless, I think it was a pretty good recap for both sides, for both fan bases to kind of hear about the opposing team.
Yeah, I think so. Not enough Jalen Ramsey talk, I guess. It'd be hilarious if he gets a pick six against Matt Ryan or something like that. That'll get people talking. But I think, this should be a good game, and I'm looking forward to both teams facing off. And obviously the one thing that you hope for both teams is no injuries, and hopefully both teams can make it through this game relatively healthy and then be able to put their best foot forward come the regular season. We both open up against NFC East opponents, so we will have the opportunity to sort of set the tone for that division race. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, I think you said it right there. Getting out injury-free, I think, is probably the priority and hope for all fans and both all the players on both teams.
Yep. All right, Chris, let my listeners know where they can find you on Twitter and you know, what they can look forward to if they happen to check out Locked On Jaguars in the coming days and weeks.
Yeah, so you can find me, like you said earlier, at Misto Cristofo on Twitter. And if you can't spell that, here's a much easier way to find it. You can go to our page on Twitter, at Locked On Jaguars, and my name is in the description. So the one that's not Zach _ Goodall. Zach's our other host, but he couldn't make it tonight due to he fell kind of under the weather. This year I'll be kind of really diving into statistics and stuff like that for the Jags, a lot of PFF work. So you could expect to see a lot of that from me. I do Jags-based stuff, but I'll occasionally do kind of tweet threads for other players and stuff like that, because that's just kind of what I like to do. I like stats. So if you want to find some stats works, I'll be sure to tag you in it, Aaron, if I do some Falcons-related stuff, so you can disperse it to your guys over there. But nonetheless, if you know any Jags fans, any Falcons fans out there that know any Jags fans looking for a home, send them over to Locked On Jaguars.
I will do that. Got a couple of Falcon fans in Florida, so I'm sure I could, ask around and whatnot. For Jaguars listeners, if they want to check out Locked On Falcons throughout the season, the more the merrier. We talk, obviously we talk mostly Falcons, but we'll have various guests on over the course of the year. One of the fun things that we do on the show is have fans, listeners to the podcast come in and talk and share what's on their mind, as opposed to myself boring people with my voice and whatnot and my thoughts. So that's a sort of change up. We just had one this past week. If you want to find me on Twitter, I'm at FalcFans, FalcFans. And it's going to be a fun season. I'm looking forward to it. All right, Chris, appreciate it.
All right, you have a good one.
You too. So, guys, there you have it. Crossover pod, talking Falcons and Jaguars. We'll be back tomorrow with another preview focusing, sort of on the Falcons and, sort of the nitty-gritty roster stuff, not the big picture stuff that we sort of discussed today. Was sort of the low-key stuff, but I'm sure there are other topics that we discussed on this episode that will come up again on tomorrow's episode. Then on Sunday, you can expect a rapid reaction. Monday, you can expect another sort of overview upon rewatch of the game on Sunday. And after that, I'm playing it by ear. I'm open to all things. Got some things in the work, but I don't want to necessarily announce those because I haven't confirmed it and whatnot. But in the meantime, if you want to provide your feedback for me, you can do so on Twitter. I'm at FalcFans. If it's podcast related, just let me know in the tweet. But if it is podcast related, just go ahead and send it over to Locked On Falcons. That's the show's Twitter handle. If you prefer Facebook, that's Locked On Falcons. If you like, email, that's LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. And of course, you can leave a comment at LockedOnFalcons.com or FalcFans.com, where the show is posted daily. Until then, guys.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.